Good to be here this morning. Congratulations on 75 years. And I'm sure there have been many ups and many downs, but God has kept this witness alive. And thank God Jesus promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. So the future is looking good. Hallelujah. I wanted to encourage you this morning that it's not the time to take the foot off the accelerator. 75 years has been achieved, but today we move forward by faith in Jesus Christ. God has a plan for the future. And while we learn by the past, we learn by our mistakes, we grow, we hold our faith solid because we can look back and thank God for the victories. Israel looked back and thanked God that he brought them across the Red Sea. While we thank God for those things that we have learned, we're not living in yesterday, we are living in today. Thank God. And I'd like to read this morning from Ephesians and chapter 1 and verse 18. Some of the most powerful prayers we can pray are actually included in the scripture. And Paul prays this prayer for the Ephesians. And beginning at verse 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance amongst the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. What a powerful prayer. I wanted to focus particularly on the fact of verse 19 that says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? We serve a mighty God, a powerful God. He is awesome in power. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The God that we serve is all powerful, all knowing, all seeing. And when we look at the heavens, we see his glory. They're awesome in power. It's said that for every single person, I think there's something like between 6 and 7 billion people on the planet Earth. For every single one of those people, there are 2 trillion stars. That's how enormous the universe is. If we were to go in one of the fastest space rockets today and begin our journey, in 50 million light years, we would still not have reached the edge of the galaxy, the Milky Way of which we are a part. This world that God has made, this universe is so awesome that it's beyond our understanding. And it's so awesome. No wonder the psalmist in Psalm 8 looked towards the heavens and said, when I see the heavens and the work of your hands, how is it, Father, that you are mindful of man? And yet this God who created the heavens and created the earth, the enormity of it is so incredible. And yet when we look at the tiniest molecule, we find the complexity is amazing. There was a time when they considered that single cell organisms were extremely simple. But now science has gone further and they realize that they are extremely complex. And they have found that within one single cell of a plant, it is more complex than an entire city. The chlorophyll, the way it produces energy, the way it's built. I couldn't help but laugh. I was listening to a gardening program on the radio the other day and the man speaking, he was obviously an evolutionist, and he was saying, well, this particular plant he was being asked about, he said, this particular plant has developed over 200 million years. Of course, we that are biblical creationists don't believe in an ancient earth like that. But then he let it slip. He said, and of course, he said, the reason it's like this, it was designed this way. It didn't involve nothing so complex could possibly evolve to be like that. We have a God who designed things, and we see his design everywhere around us. I'm always in awe. I was trained as a gardener, but still I'm in awe when I look into a flower and I see design there. I see order. I see the colors, the patterns. It's absolutely awesome. This is the God that we serve. He is awesome in power. And what is amazing in Ephesians 1 verse 19 says that the exceeding greatness of his power is towards us who believe. As we live in this world, there is so much going on, so much unsettlement, wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus said there would be. We go forward with faith in Christ Jesus, because in him we can do all things. And his power, his ability, his strength is towards us who believe. He can enable us to get through all of the trials of life. We have many trials. Hebrews 11 tells us that we have faith in the good times. And it talks of the great victories of faith when Daniel saw the mouths of the lions stopped, when women received their dead raised to life again. But it also talks of victories in the hard times, because whatever we face in life, whether things work out the way we expect or whether they don't, faith is the victory that brings us through. This is the victory, 1 John 5:4, that overcomes the world, even our faith in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can come against us, no problem, no disease, no situation, that through faith in Christ Jesus we cannot conquer. Hallelujah, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are in victory in Christ Jesus. His power is towards us. What is so important is that we get this word into us. Last night we learnt about keys of prayer. Powerful message. And yes, we want to get hold of God in prayer. But the root that we have to get built into our life is the root of the Word of God. The Word of God is the basis of everything that we believe. Our faith is based in God's Word. And the wonderful thing about God's Word is, though the world around us may change, though nations may change, financial systems may change, rules may change, all the things around us may change. Jesus said the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Though all of those things will change, the Word of God will never change. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven." Malachi 3 verse 6 says, God says, "I am the Lord and I change not." Everything may change, but if we trust in this Word, we are building our lives on a solid rock that will never change. Jesus said, if we build our life on the Word, it's like building on a rock that will not be moved. Though the storms of life may come, though opposition may come, though attacks may come, if we stand on the Word of God, whatever may happen, we will stand firm through the fiercest of storms. Hallelujah. Thank God for his Word. It's unchanging. It's eternal. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 40 verses 4 and 5 that the grass will fade and the flower will wither, but the Word of our God stands forever. Jesus, Matthew 24 verse 35, put it like this, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. We need to get this into our thinking. Our homes will pass away. All that we see around us, all the glory of creation, it's going to pass away. It's temporary. But the Word of God stands forever. When we believe this Word, when we put it into our lives and obey it, and when we walk by it, we are building something that will last for all of eternity. We're building up treasure in heaven. Hallelujah. And thank God we are looking to eternal things. We are so often in the here and now so much that we forget that we are part of an eternal plan that God has. I remember the one man was praying one day and he said, Lord, I suppose, he said, £1 million is nothing to you. And the Lord said, yes, very little. And he said, and I suppose, he said, 1 million years, he said, is a very short time. The Lord said, yes, it's but a moment. And so the man said to God, £1 million is such a little. Would you, Lord, give me £1 million? And the Lord said, in a moment. God sees things in an eternal perspective. We need to live with that eternal perspective. And we need to live by what God's word says about our situation. How powerful it is when we can come back to Christ's promises. How powerful when we believe it. You know, the early Pentecostals had this revelation that you got hold of God's word and you prayed and you praised and you believed it until you got hold of that promise in your experience. We need to get hold of that kind of faith that gets hold of God for our situations and says, I'm not willing to put up with this situation. I'm going to catch hold of God, and whether it comes now or whether it comes tomorrow or whether it comes next year, I am going to receive the things that God has promised in his word. Jesus said, Luke 4 verse 4 and Matthew 4 verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We were created to live by God's word. Adam was created to live by God's word, but he failed. When the enemy came into the garden, he was moved away from the word and he listened to what the serpent said. The serpent questioned the word. He said, has God really said that? And then he brought him away from it and he caused him to listen and he disobeyed God. But thank God, the Bible says there were two Adams. The first Adam failed. Because of him, all of the suffering that we see in the world came in. This is why the world is in the state that it's in, because sin came in through Adam and it brought devastation. But thank God he had a plan. God sent Jesus, who was the last Adam. And notice the first Adam came into a glorious garden where there was every provision. And yet, when he was tempted, he fell. The second Adam, God brought him for 40 days and 40 nights of fasting in a wilderness. And yet, when the devil came to tempt him, just like he tempted the first Adam, he did not fall, but he stood firm and he believed God and he was obedient. And the Bible tells us he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And he came into maturity. Thank God for Jesus. When the first Adam fell, the second Adam came into victory. Hallelujah. And he is our pattern. We were born naturally of the first Adam. We received from him all sorts of problems, all sorts of inheritances. But thank God, when we are born the second time, when we come to Christ, when we invite Jesus into our heart, the Bible says that we are born again. We are born again after the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new inheritance, a new faith, a new life, a new grace that comes within us. We become a new person. If any man is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. And thank God, we're reminded in Peter that we have received an inheritance from our natural father, but we are born again of incorruptible seed through the word of God. This word, the word that God spoke in the beginning and said, let there be light, and there was light, has the same power in it today when God speaks it. This word is powerful. This is the written word. And God speaks to us. This is our Father's will to us. And there is power invested in this word. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says that the word of God is living. It's alive. And it's powerful. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The power of God is invested in his word. Hallelujah. If we will believe it, if we will receive this word, there is power within it. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. When we receive this word, miracles happen. Wonderful things. God wants to bring us back to the simple gospel. When we began our first church back in the 1980s, we didn't really know what we were doing, but we believed the word of God. And we used to pray, and we'd leaflet through every door in the neighborhood. We put leaflets out that said, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. We advertised that way. We used to get people come, we'd hire the town hall, we'd get 60 or 70 people come, and we saw God do amazing things. He honors faith in his word. And I remember one night, we had the meeting And the Lord spoke to me. There was somebody there with a back problem. Well, there's always people with back problems. But this particular night, there was a young man there, and he'd been a soldier in Northern Ireland. And while he was over there, he'd been shot in the lower back. And for the last several years, he'd had operation after operation on his back, and he lived on painkillers, and one side of his body was weakened, so he couldn't raise his hand right up, he couldn't walk in a normal manner, he was weakened. And as I spoke this word out, he got out of his seat and began to walk forward, and the power of God, I didn't get near him, the power of God came upon him, and he fell to the floor, and the half of his body that wouldn't work began to shake as the power of God hit him. And he was down on that floor for 15 minutes. When he got up off that floor, he was whole. He didn't need painkillers. From that day on, and his body worked the way it should. That's the power that's not in my faith, but it's in the word of God. When we simply apply it and believe it, we see God do the most amazing things. Now, it isn't always instantaneous. We have to get hold of that word and say, Lord, this is what you promised. Lord, I am going to choose in my situation, though everything may be going against me, though all of the opposition may be around me, I am going to choose to believe what your word says, and I'm going to work with you, and I'm going to put my faith in you that you are going to bring me through in the name of Jesus. And we've seen in our life time and time again, it isn't always easy. We face our battles, we face our storms, but if we put our faith in God, we see things happen that we would never have seen happen had not we put our faith in God. Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, he reigns over the nations. But his word tells us in all the situations of life, we should put our faith in God and he'll honor us. I may have told you this story before, but these Red Sea experiences, these things that happened to us are so powerful in our testimony of God. One day, we'd bought a new car. It was a car I'd always wanted, but our old car, everything had gone at once. I don't know if you've ever been in that state. The engine was going, the steering was going, everything needed doing, and we managed to just about get enough money together to buy this car. And we spent everything that we had on it, and when it came to the insurance, we couldn't quite manage the theft part, so we just insured it third party only. Big mistake. We'd had the car, it was a Ford Capri, if anyone knows, remembers those days, 2.8, absolutely beautiful car, I loved it. And one night we were going to bed, it was about 11 o'clock at night, and as my wife and I passed each other in the hallway going into the bedroom, I said to Debbie, I said, that sounds like our car. Not for one second did I consider it was our car, I just heard a car that sounded like ours. The next day we were going our way, we had our cases packed, we walked down the pathway and looked and the car wasn't there. Well, the first thing you think, oh, I must have parked it round the corner, but we looked and the car was gone. And we made a decision. We said to one another, right, we're not going to grumble, we're not going to complain, in fact, we're not even going to talk about it. We are going to praise God, the devil's got our car, but he's not having our joy. And so we praise the Lord. We didn't have any money for another car. I had to walk, get my way to be able to get to work. For the next 2 weeks, we managed. We had to walk, get the shopping, do everything, and somehow or other, we managed without a car. But one day, and we were declaring faith in God. We didn't grumble. We said, thank you, Lord. We are trusting in your provision. We praise you, we worship you, we honor you, because you're worthy to be praised. God doesn't change our circumstances, might, but he's always worthy to be praised. Praising God isn't just for the good times, it's for the hard times as well. And we made this decision. I was walking home from work one day, and the Lord spoke to me as clear as anything. I'd like to say he always speaks to me like that, but life isn't like that, is it? Sometimes you're crying out to the Lord, and it takes time to really, before God speaks. But this one day, I was walking home from work, and God spoke as clear as anything, and he said, I will give you £5,000 if you'll believe me for it. Now, I had to think about that. God said, can you believe me for £5,000? So I thought very carefully about it, and I said, yes, Lord. I commit myself to you. I believe you've spoken to me. I'm believing for it. 1 week later, we had somebody come round, the door knocked. Somebody in the church, they said, my father's just died. I've just come round here because I've been praying. I've received an inheritance and the Lord has spoken to me. He didn't know our situation, but the Lord has spoken to me, he said, to tithe it to you. And thank God, the Lord provided for us to have a car that was twice as good as the one that was stolen. And the most wonderful thing is it came right out of the devil's camp, because that man that died, that the inheritance came through, was one of the leading spiritualists in the UK. God took the money off the devil. He'd stolen it and we got it back. Hallelujah. 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 I often think if we'd had the wrong attitude, if we'd grumbled, if we'd stressed, if we'd been anxious, we would not have received from God. Faith is a channel between us and God, and he wants us to keep that channel open. And so often we just want to go into fear, into worry, into anxiety, and God's saying, just trust me. It might not look good. There might be all sorts of issues. Trust me in the midst of your situation. We think of Peter on the boat, and when Jesus came on the water, he said to Peter, come. That's all that we need, is a word from Jesus. And when we believe that word and stand on it, then we're safe. Peter, you can't walk on water, but Peter walked on the word that Jesus spoke. When we receive a word from God, we can walk on that word and we can do things that nobody else can do because it's supernatural. And when Peter looked around him, he saw the circumstances. He was affected by the problems. He began to sink, but thank God Jesus took his hand and lifted him up. We need to look to Jesus. And even when our faith grows weak, thank God, if we look to him, we can receive from heaven. Hallelujah. He wants us to receive from him. He wants us to learn to take hold of the word. Faith is an ongoing thing. Four times in the Bible, the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk 2 verse 4, in the New Testament, Galatians 3:13, Romans 1 verse 17, and Hebrews 10 verse 38, the Bible says, the just, that's you and me, shall live by faith. It's an ongoing relationship. It's a daily thing. Yesterday's victories are not enough. We live in faith today. It's carrying on. It's trusting God. This church needs to go on in faith, stretching forward, believing God for greater things, because God has no armor for the rear, but he calls us to walk, to move, to go forward. God has a plan for each one of us to go forward. We are on a journey of faith, and God has got things for you and me to do that if we don't believe him, if we don't trust his word, we're never going to achieve. Hallelujah. I remember the story of the great man of God. I'm sure Pastor Jim will have heard of Willie Burton, who went out to the Belgian Congo. And shortly before he was meant to be going on this great missionary trip, he was diagnosed with a cancerous growth on his bowels. It was protruding, and the doctors said there was nothing they could do for him. But he knew that he knew that he had the call of God, and he had to go. And so he went out on that journey. In those days, it was a big thing to take such a long journey. And by the time they got to the Belgian Congo, a number of his team had died of malaria and other tropical diseases. But by the time Willie Burton got to the Belgian Congo, he was whole. Hallelujah. And thank God today there are thousands of churches in the Belgian Congo that came as a result of a man that was obedient to God. Who knows what a difference it can make if we will listen to the word of God and apply it. We make a difference to the lives of other people. We never know the ricochets that go out because we trust God, because we believe him, because we choose to be moral people. That's having faith in a community that has gone so far from God, but our lives, our morality, our faith in the God of heaven has an effect on all those around us. We may never know the effect it may have. I remember many years ago, my mother, she went to the Lord to be with the Lord at 53 years of age. And in some ways, it seemed like a tragedy to me. And yet God was there in the midst of it. And sometimes we do not understand the things that happen. But thank God she had come to Christ and known the Lord as a Savior. The night that she died, that was on a Friday morning, May 1987, we had an outreach meeting. And nothing in me wanted to do that meeting. When you've lost somebody like that, the grief is so overwhelming, you just want to feel sorry for yourself. And but that night we had a meeting, there was nobody that could stand in, and so I felt I had to do that meeting. It was a giant step of faith. But you know, when we take a step towards God, He always takes a step towards us. And when that meeting began, we had a team come in and do the praise and worship. I didn't feel like praising God. I didn't feel like doing anything. But I began to sing and worship and praise God. And as I began to speak and began to sing out, a miracle happened inside me. And all of a sudden, all of the grief within me lifted and was gone. And I was filled with the joy of God's presence. Some people, that if they had known the situation, may have even considered it disrespectful. But it wasn't. God touched me and I was filled with joy. And from that day to this, that grief has never come back. And in that meeting, miracles happened that night. We saw some wonderful things happen. God encourages us to take steps of faith. That means to do things maybe that other people wouldn't, but because we have faith in Christ, we believe God and we trust Him and He comes up with the goods. That's what these meetings this weekend have been about. They've been about faith in Jesus. We believe He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. What a Savior we serve. And He would encourage each one of us this morning to recognize it's a journey of faith. It began when we met with Him, but that was just the beginning. Paul said we're of the same spirit of faith. We believed and therefore we spoke. It's an ongoing thing. We believe it and then we speak it and then we act on it. Jesus always got people to act. When you're reaching out to God in faith, there is 9 times out of 10 an action required. Stretch out your withered arm, Jesus said. I remember being in a meeting years ago. A young lady there had suffered very badly with, cystic fibrosis. But her, it was something that had caused her organs to fail. And she could hardly walk. And at the end of the meeting, she came forward and I said, I'm going to ask you to raise your legs up in the air. Raise your knees up. She said, well, I can't do it. She said, because my kneecap has been removed because of this disease that is afflicting all my joints. And I looked at her and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to lift this knee up. And she lifted one knee and she lifted the other knee and she began to walk and she began to run. And the power of God came upon her. When we trust in God, sometimes it's taking an action. It's doing something that we cannot do. I always remember, this didn't happen to me, but a dear friend of mine, Harry Greenwood, I know Pastor Jim had him at the church years ago, was praying for a lady that was completely blind. And he prayed for her, put his hands on her eyes, and nothing happened. And the Lord spoke to him and he said, I want you to tell this lady, he said, I want you to ask her, can you see? And so he said to her the first time, can you see? So she said, no. So he said, now close your eyes. So he said, can you see? She said, no. And the Lord said to him to tell her this. He said, listen. He said, if you cannot see with your eyes closed, you're never going to see with them open. He needed her to get hold of that truth that she had to receive by faith. So often when we pray, we're waiting for the result to believe God. But that isn't faith. The moment we get the result, we don't need faith. We've already got it. We know we've got it. But in the spiritual realm, faith is that which receives from God. That's why sometimes when we're prayed for, sometimes we know that we haven't got it. But if we open our heart to receive, there can be a time when we can just receive by faith. And we just know that we know that we've got it. And it doesn't matter that it hasn't happened instantly, because we have received it in our heart. And it comes. This is how the presence of God comes. He wants us to receive, not just by what we see, but by what we receive from the presence of His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you are here, your glorious presence. We thank you, Lord, that you who created all things only by the word that you spoke, your word contained such glorious power that the world and all that we see was created by the power invested in that word. And we thank you, Lord, that your word has been given to us, Lord. It's as powerful today as it has ever been, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the centurion knew it when he said, "But speak the word and my servant will be healed." Lord, we want to take you at your word this morning. For each one, Lord, that has a situation in their life, maybe a problem in their body, maybe something in their mind, maybe a financial need. Lord, we look to your word and your truth this morning. We thank you, Lord, that in this word we believe that Jesus himself took not only our sins upon that cross, but our sicknesses and our poverty and our needs and everything that could ever come against us, Father. We thank you that in Christ every enemy was defeated. And so we want to come to you, Lord, this morning with faith in our hearts, faith for our loved ones, faith for our families, Father, faith for all those things that are assailing us, Lord. We come to you, Father, with faith in our hearts this morning. And we're asking this morning for breakthroughs, Lord. We're asking this morning that those things that we have been reaching out for, that by faith this morning we may receive them from heaven, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you have a need this morning, would you just stand up right where you are? If it's physical, if it's in your family, if it's financial, whatever it is, would you just stand right where you are now in Jesus' name? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that all of heaven is aware of what is happening in this place this morning. This is not just about us, Lord. This is not a feel-good meeting, Lord. This is about you, Father, and I thank you that you are right here now, that you see every person that is stood here. Lord, I pray now in the authority of Jesus' name for each one standing. I take authority over the powers of darkness, over those things that are bringing sickness and disease and poverty and lack. And everything, Lord, that is against your will and word, I take authority over it now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I command it to go. I command every spirit of darkness under the sound of my voice to leave in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I declare your word unto each one here. I declare by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. I declare that he took every poverty upon the cross and that in him all of your needs shall be supplied. I declare over your family the covenant blessing of Almighty God. I declare over you the blessing of Abraham that you'll be the head and not the tail, but you'll be blessed when you go in and when you go out, that blessing will flow over every area of life. I pronounce blessing upon each one of these that is stood, Lord. I negate every curse, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and declare blessing from this moment onwards in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.